You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Guys, you know, I've been losing some weight. I've been feeling very confident about my own image and that such. And when I look at myself in the mirror and I just put on the right type of jacket, I think to myself, you know what? I think I look good enough. I can go on a big, giant killing spree and totally get away with it.
Oh, dear. That was terrible.
I always think of that when I have fringe.
Hey, Justin, can you take off that jacket?
No, it looks great.
I'm also very insulted.
Swear that you won't wear the jacket anymore.
Yeah.
Swear it.
I'm insulted that none of you guys have brought up my jacket, though.
Oh, don't worry.
A lot of people bring up my jacket.
Yeah.
Does it have fringe?
And the reason why we're talking about jackets so much is because we are reviewing Deerskin, or as it's known in France, Le Dème. Which I guess translates to the suede, the Swede?
The suede or the deer.
No, he was the Swede in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, he was.
That's right, I forgot about that. So this movie is the newest film from a director I was wholly unfamiliar with before this film came out, Quentin Dupieux. Now, I didn't know the director, but I do know that one film that he made a big splash with, Rubber, that came out. I think, was that his first or second film?
Oh, no, it's one of his middle films.
It's like his third or fourth film. I mean, you can say the guy's on a roll.
Yeah, no, it's...
Stop. Don't. No.
You came up with that joke on the skin of your teeth, huh?
Now look, don't tread on me.
God damn it. One of the weirdest movies ever made, though, if you haven't seen Rubber. And this is too far off.
No, because Rubber is a movie about a killer tire, and this one is about, well... Jean Dujardin as a killer, pretty much.
Well, technically, it's also about a psycho fringe deerskin jacket that wants him to become a killer.
Or is it? That
I think it's the psychological impacts of divorce. You know, it happens to all of us. You know, breakups are hard.
It's also an interesting look on indie filmmaking.
You just need fringe and killing. I mean, it happens.
Fringe killing is actually my favorite genre.
There you go.
Well, so I should actually explain what this movie is about, which I kind of already did. But basically, yeah, we follow Jean Dujardin, who, I mean, you say, who's that? The guy from The Artist. The guy who won the Oscar for that.
The guy from many amazing films, actually.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Is that, like, he's a great freaking actor, but so many people don't watch his films because most of them are in French. So it's one of those things.
As a huge James Bond fan, the OSS films are fantastic.
Beat me to it. OSS 117 is brilliant satire. It's what Austin Powers wishes it was.
Oh, totally.
As far as satire of James Bond, it's so good.
Oh, yeah. But, he has gone through a divorce. He's gone through a bunch of money problems and that stuff. And he goes to this little French village, I guess, out on the countryside, and decides to stay in a hotel for a while. And at one point, he meets up with a guy who sells him this deerskin jacket with fringes on it. And let's just say that Jean Dujardin gets a little too attached to this jacket, where he's just like, yeah, I look good.
It's a killer look.
Yeah, it's a killer look. And in fact...
And everything is about the jacket. It's like two people are talking and it's like, are you talking about my jacket? Because I get a lot of people talking about my jacket.
Yeah, he gets obsessive to a insane level about this jacket. Like, it's like, it's literally to the point where he imagines it talking to him throughout a lot of this movie.
Yeah, like the first time he tries to... Yeah, the first time he tries to talk to it is like, you know, it's like nothing. And then like the next night he gets like woken up from his sleep by the jacket. The jacket's like, hey, George, do you want to know my dream? My dream is to be the only jacket in the world.
And then he's like, well, my dream is to be the only person wearing a jacket in the world.
Oh, it's so great.
So brilliant.
Man, it is so weird to talk about this freaking movie because it is very French. Like, just the idea about the premise about the jacket, you have to already start suspending your disbelief that this is clearly a movie, because there's some stuff that happens in the second half of this movie that could not happen at all unless it was in a movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is that he decided he's going to make a movie because along with being sold the jacket, the guy is like, wow, this is a lot of money for just a jacket. I'm going to give you a digital camcorder with it just for funsies.
He paid 7,000 euros for the jacket.
7,500 euros.
7,500, you're right.
And so he decides he's going to be a filmmaker because in a bar, they're like, so what do? I make films. And so his film becomes trying to live out his dream of ensuring that nobody else wears a jacket. And the other main part of it is his relationship with this editor, trying to edit this film with no script and producers he says are in Siberia filming a fight scene or something. And about the quest for having no one wear jackets except for him.
Again, this guys, movie is super freaking French.
If you guys aren't already sold on this premise,
but
like
on a scale
was,
of one to French, how French is this French?
It's a little bit above.
I mean, it's not Emily level, but it's still pretty French.
Yeah, it's not frites. It's not quite Holy Motors or anything like that. So
I don't know about you guys, but I thought this movie was a work of fucking mad genius.
Oh, it's beautiful. I adore every minute of this, and one of my favorite things is like stuff from the very beginning. We're following him, and even before he gets the jacket, he's already like hating his look and literally tries to flush his jacket down the toilet. And it's just like, I love this. I don't know what's happening, but this is kind of perfect for me.
Yeah, it starts off with him filming one of the scenes from his movie. You don't realize that's happening yet, of just people looking at the camera going, I swear to never wear a jacket again, and putting it in his trunk. And it's just like, wait, what? Why would this be the opener?
Yeah, no, this was a movie that really gets by on force of personality from both the director and from Jean Dujardin. Because, you know, I would say that there's not a whole lot really impressive about the actual, like, cinematography, which is very muted, dry color palette kind of thing. And it's not like it's, like, a very expensive movie at all to make. But there's just so much wacko energy coming from the way they decided to tell the story. And Jean Dujardin really, really, really drives this movie, because he is so good in this.
He is, like, John Hamm levels of good-looking, but he's even more charismatic and likable than him, because he's got a very affable nature to himself in every one of his movies, but especially here, where it's just like, no matter how weird he gets, even with like the people in the town, you kind of get why they like him, because it's like, oh, you're just like a nice guy, you're kind of awkward, but you're nice.
He's nice at first until you start talking to him and they're like, oh, you're a freaking weirdo.
Oh yeah, no, he's slightly unhinged as you go through until he goes full on unhinged. I love how much this movie is about a middle-aged crisis.
Exactly. Like, it's mostly like he's not dealing well with his divorce, and the jacket was like his start towards that, and then he realizes the lie about being a filmmaker is the only way people are starting to talk to him and give him the time of day that he needs, and that starts to deteriorate. Because, yeah, as he realizes that he's losing on that thing he was trying to gain back, he's like, I gotta really amp up this film thing. I gotta make this movie work. And then he just goes, starts killing people, and it's so good. That's so good.
I will say I was fulfilled by Denise's arc, Adele Hanel, because, you know, I'm an actor, and at the beginning when he first is like, because she wants to be an editor, and he's like, yeah, my producers in Siberia totally said that you can edit my films. Like, don't you want to see my work? No, they said it was fine so long as you give me a bunch of money. And so it's like, I'm there going, are you not part of a Facebook group that would immediately tell you this is a scam? But as that arc went on and it came to the revelation of at the end of her character, I'm like, oh, I am now fulfilled, because I spent the entire time just being angry that she was being taken advantage of in my industry. I'm like, no! Oh, okay.
Oh, I suspected, just like she did, that there was something up from the get-go between both of them.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, but that's the thing where, you know, she is actually really good. Like, she's not in it as much as you would think, but anytime she's up there, she's, you know, going toe-to-toe with John Dujardin throughout the entire scene, and she's doing a really great job, I think.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing where the movie, I didn't expect how weird it got, because the first maybe 30, 40 minutes, it's weird, but weird in a kind of like quirky, a little bit strange way. And then you get to the final half hour, and it goes fucking nuts throughout this.
Oh, yeah. It becomes positively surreal.
Well, the thing about it is so weird is that I mean, even then the tagline is about, it's like this guy that gets a deerskin coat and then goes on a killing spree. That's part of the tagline. But that doesn't really happen until the very, very end of the film.
Yeah.
So you have this establishment of this guy's a fucking weirdo who talks to his jacket and really wants to have sex with it. He wants to have sex with this jacket, I swear.
I'm surprised that scene didn't happen.
Every time
I am absolutely surprised it didn't happen.
Every time he comes into contact with anything that's vintage, fringed, or deer skin, he's just like, fuck.
I love that, like, every stage of this store that he goes through, he unlocks a new piece of jacket and a new piece of deerskin material.
Oh, yeah, the way that goes down, where it's just like, he just consistently, through weird mishaps and then killings, starts getting more and more deerskin is so good. And one of my favorite things, though, is that we haven't even touched on, is the, one of the things we said in a Fantastic Fest review, is like, his killer weapon is so perfectly original and fits this movie so well that, like, I could watch a whole movie about, like, an actual serial killer movie that's not just a crazy movie about a guy, like, who gets unhinged and starts killing people like that. Because I'm like, that's a great horror movie concept, too. This just works.
I question the practicality of that thing as a murder weapon. I don't want to actually spoil it because it's kind of a surprise when you see it happen. But I don't know if that would work that way, but it is very inventive the way they do it in the film.
Well, the thing about me is I've watched enough crime dramas to be like, you're killing people in a way that people are going to find out immediately.
And nobody investigates.
Nobody investigates.
Oh, totally.
It's like, did nobody have a camera phone and, like, post on Facebook or something, at least?
Well, okay, was the movie supposed to take place in, like, the 90s? Because they're using so much retro tech.
I think it's the 90s, because, yeah, even her computer wasn't that new. His camera, like, he wasn't sure about a digital camera till the other guy, till the guy selling it. He was like, no, digital's good, because, like, they're not around. Like,
well, even still, you still have people being like, oh, crap, this person, there are three bodies in front of the cinema. We should probably tell the authorities, oh, look, a whole bunch of DNA and hair and fingerprints. Well, that'll be helpful.
Even before the killing, there's that part where he throws a rock at a kid's head, and you're like, that would have been instantly reported by somebody.
That kid was being a creepy little shit.
Yeah, but there was the other person with them. He's like, this dude just threw a fucking rock at a child? Maybe he should be questioned?
Nobody's pressed charges for him stealing their jackets yet, so, I mean, come on.
Well,
I mean, there's a difference between a jacket and having a rock thrown at your face.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some reaction from that later in the movie that I think is kind of perfect, too. But
yeah. Well, and this movie is
It came out of the blue, but it was.
Yeah. Well, this movie is wholly a Quentin Dupieux product because he directed, wrote, shot, and edited this movie as well. So I think he is Jean Dujardin in this movie, pretty much.
Well, he has shot all of his films as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, and it's hard to really say a lot else about this movie because there are, you know, we mentioned the last half hour is just a giant killing spree. I don't want to say really anything else about what happens in the last half hour because there's some interesting directions this movie goes. Because especially...
Even when you say it's a killing spree, it's a very... I would say, like, 15 minutes of that half hour is the killing spree, if that.
Yeah. Well, and it's even weirder because it's a really short movie. It's like 72 minutes.
76 minutes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing where I'm like, okay, so where's this going? Because it didn't seem like it was building to an ending. And then the ending happens, and you're just like, oh, okay.
But it's never boring.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
You say that, but it totally made sense of where the movie was going.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly earned by how the rest of the movie has gone up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it didn't completely come out of nowhere, but it did. You did not expect it to come back to that point, certainly.
Yeah, no, but it. Yeah, this movie is just so surreal, and I mean, you know, saying that it's surreal, it's definitely a dark comedy because there's a lot of laugh out loud funny moments throughout this film. Like,
oh yeah.
I couldn't stop picturing the first time he talked to the jacket, or like talking in the jacket's voice. It reminded me of Bob's Burgers whenever Bob talks to an inanimate object. Just like, hey, George, do you want to go do this?
Hey, Daytime Whiskey, how are you doing? You want to see my CD collection?
Yes, Bob, I like it very much.
Nathan, I want to be the only alcoholic beverage in all of the liquor cabinets in the world.
That, you know what? That's what Woodford Reserve is becoming for me. Stop
Oh boy, you better watch out, people of Austin.
They're all indoors. As long as they're not wearing jackets, which I wouldn't understand if they were, because it's fucking 90 today.
Well, hey, there we go. That's why this movie could only have happened before the quarantine, because there's no way he would find anybody wandering the streets otherwise. Oh, man. Is there any other major points to bring up? Because, you know, I did enjoy this movie a lot. It's hard to say that I would want to watch this again, but the thing that helps me justify that is that it's incredibly short. Like, it's literally a movie you can just put on the background and just watch the weird things happen while you're doing something else, too. You know, if you've already seen it.
It is slightly more than a drama episode of a TV series.
Oh, yeah.
As the guy who's seen it twice now, because I saw it at Fantastic Fest as well, it's really worthwhile to see it again. Like, it's one of those ones, like, when you get the chance to, it'll stick in your head and you'll be like, that was fun. And then it's just, it's amazing just how quickly you fall back into wanting to watch all of it.
Oh, no, I totally want to rewatch it. Like, I just finished it maybe, like, an hour ago, and I'm just like, God, that screener better not expire. I need to watch it now.
Yeah. Well, one thing I found that was interesting, too, is that there's actually not a lot of music in this movie. And when I say that,
there is
music played throughout parts of it, but there's, like, two pieces of instrumental music that they keep coming back to, and then a couple source songs, but it's actually fairly quiet, and other than just the occasion that... Well, that one, like, he's like, wah, wah, and then it just kind of cuts there. You're like, that was an interesting choice.
That weird, like, violin noise, that sinking noise that they have that cuts every scene just really adds to the pacing of it. And honestly, this movie just, as much as it takes a while to get to what the premise is, per se, it is never boring because every character choice he makes is so fucking interesting.
Oh, yeah, there's almost, like, that's the thing I love about short movies is where a director really knows how to use their time to make something happen every scene. Like, there's, usually in a lot of these French films, they can be very, you know, quiet, empty, ponderous kind of stuff. Even those scenes in this movie, there's always something happening that is drawing your attention.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree. I thought this movie was just tits, honestly. I just like this movie so much. God.
I'll say.
Get into final thoughts.
Yeah, it's tits, but surprisingly, even though it's a French film, I don't think there's any nudity in this movie, except for like one scene where John Dodine showers. I think so.
Well, yep. I mean, how can you tell that man to take off his jacket?
That's fair.
Well, then why don't we lead into final thoughts? Then you know what, Nathan, why don't you start off?
I absolutely love this movie. I thought it was a work of absolute fucking mad genius by Depew. I really loved Rubber, and I thought this movie was just, I don't know if it's better, but God, that performance by Desjardins, I can't French right now. I'm sorry. Keep that in the recording, though. Don't lose that.
You've just been overloaded with the French.
Oh, totally. I can't French right now, but I just
sometimes
really,
my brain doesn't work so French.
I really, really like this movie. It's surreal. It's bizarre. It's absolutely hilarious. It's interesting to watch. You really can't take your eyes off of it. I know you said the cinematography wasn't much to write home about, but yeah, I mean, it is kind of well shot, but it's just every scene is so fascinating to me, even when it's kind of just regular shit. It's just interesting watching him go through his day because you really don't leave a room with him throughout the entire movie. Beyond that, I really like this movie. I would give it 8 out of 5 frozen credit cards.
8 out of 5? Wow.
Or wait, no, what? 8.5 out of 10 frozen credit cards. Oh, God, that daytime whiskey.
That's great. You know what, Ben, why don't you go next?
Sure. Yeah, as I said, this is the second time I've seen this movie. And the more I watched it the second time, the more I even liked it more. Like, I think it is well shot because it's not like a masterfully shot thing, but each scene is like, it's so well blocked that the way it's shot just feels both a little bit kind of naturalized, but also at the same time heightens kind of that weird, you know, strange fantasy element to the movie. I'm a huge fan of Desjardins. I had not seen any of Depew's or Depew's other films. I do want to see Rubber. I have for a while, and this really makes me want to see it more. But this one, I think it is just, it works so well because the lead, like, just leans into every weird brilliant thing about this movie and just highlights it even more. And I mean, how can you not like a movie that helps give Bambi more work? I mean, what has Bambi done for the last 50 years?
He joined the army.
And became a jacket. He's more useful than ever.
Aww.
Couldn't find his mom? On, well, now soon. You got a new daddy.
Now that's just sad. Now you've depressed us, man. Come on.
I don't want to think about that.
I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 books on filmmaking jobs.
Mindy.
Well, I thought this was a very fun French romp. It's not going to be for everybody. Those that aren't into just weird and kooky are not going to be into it. But if you are into weird and kooky, it is very fun in a way that isn't incoherent, because there are some films that try to be surrealist and weird, and they go too far into just blah. Agreed. All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one doesn't. This one does have a storyline, it does have arcs, and because of that, it's weird enough to be like, wait, what? But also coherent enough that you can follow it. And it was a fun ride. I will say, granted, I think this is just because I connected to her, I really wanted to know more about Denise. I wanted to know more about her life and her character arc and the fact that she only had little snippets to be able to show it. The fact that I wanted more of that from those little snippets says something about the actress and her portrayal of the character. But it's like, as soon as she started to come into her own, the film ended.
And yeah.
I'm like, aww.
That's kind of where I thought, like, that there would be, like, one more scene that would explain
right.
something. Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't get it. And I was like, aww, I want more Denise. So, but all in all, it is a fun romp. It is a quick romp. And you will spend it going, man, this is French. But in a good way. So I'm going to give it 7 awkward propositions to be in your porn out of 10.
That was incredibly awkward, to say the least.
It was so awkward.
You know, it's interesting. I think, Nathan, you mentioned how Rubber itself is kind of a commentary about not watching movies anymore. This is almost itself a commentary about how insane it is to make French movies. Because there's a part where Jean Dujardin talks to a bunch of people he hired to be extras in the scene. The guy's like, you know your movie's freaking weird, right? And he's like, no, it's not weird. It rocks. You just don't see it yet, but it's going to be amazing. You know? And it's, that almost feels like the mentality that the director went into going into this movie. It's like, you know it's weird, right? No, it's not. It's going to be great. You just don't see it yet, but it will be.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this was, it really gets by and force of personality from both, again, the writer and director with Depew, however you say it, and Jean Dujardin. They really carry this movie along so well. I like that it isn't so navel-gazy and surreal as a lot of other French films I've seen. It really does feel like, because it's so brief and so quick, that they really use their time wisely. And I think that more films should follow that example.
It just has enough toes into the surrealness, but manages to stay like in reality enough to where you can go through it and almost see it as like, oh, this could happen, until he starts talking to his jacket.
It's more as the jacket starts talking to him is the worrying
what part. I do love about that is every time they show the jacket talking to him, they cover his mouth, like, through the framing of the cinematography. I don't know. I thought it was great.
Yeah. That way it's given a little bit more ambiguity kind of thing. Which
yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So, no, I think I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 blown out faces.
That was such an out of the blue scene too.
I thought I missed something when that part happened. I'm like, wait, did that, but when, how did
oh yeah, no, he just blew his face off right here. I just cleaned it, it's fine.
It was so clean.
Right? I thought he was wearing a mask. Well, I mean, he probably was, but I thought he was wearing, like it was actually the character wearing a mask in that scene. It's like, nope, that's supposed to be his face blown out.
That's so fucking weird. Yeah.
It just comes around him getting his ring back. It's just like, this is so just, why?
I was so worried he was going to bite the finger off. I was so, oh! Please don't.
Just turn into a Gollum moment. It's like, argh!
Reminded me of Mad Max for a second when he's got Nux on him in Fury Road. I was like, no.